Well, it is good to be here with you all. It's good to see some familiar faces again and to see some new faces. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to get to know some of you over my time here this weekend. And before we approach the preaching of the word, let us go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, come to you. We stand in awe of who you are. We stand amazed at your marvelous works, your mighty deeds. Lord, we are but dust of the ground. And you are the creator of the universe, the one who has brought this dust unto life. You have fashioned us and shaped us into the image of your Son, after the image of your Son. And Lord, we come to you as mere creatures whose obligation is to glorify your name. But Lord, we cannot dare enter your presence without a mediator. Our sinfulness would have us killed for entering into your presence. But yet we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we have been clothed in the righteousness that you have, the righteousness of Christ imputed unto us. And so, Lord, we are able to enter into your presence and to sit at the feet of King Jesus and learn from our Master. Father, we come to you humbled, recognizing that we have failed so greatly, that we have not loved your law, we have not meditated upon it day and night. And so, Lord, we confess our sins, trusting that you are faithful and just, to us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we also confess the sins of the church. We confess where we have failed to worship you as you have called us to. We confess where we have failed to love one another. We confess where the courts of your church have failed in upholding righteousness and justice. Lord, we ask that you would grant us forgiveness of these sins. Lord, we pray for mercy upon our nation, this wicked nation which blasphemes your holy. Father, we ask that if it be your will, that you would grant repentance unto this nation, which first starts with us and then moves broader and broader until eventually we see the magistrate repent of their sins and covenant themselves with King Jesus. And Lord, we ask that if in your will that this repentance not be granted, that you would cause the destruction of this land to be swift, and that rising from the ashes of destruction, would be a church more purified as gold refined in the refiner's fire. And so, Lord, we ask that You would purify us in that way, even now. Purify our hearts. Make us clean. Feed us with Your Word this day. Send Your Spirit to dwell among us here, to illuminate this Scripture unto us, to make it clear and understandable, so that we may rightly apply it to our lives and live according to Your will. So, Lord, we pray these things because You are the God who hears prayers and You are the God who answers. We lift these up to You in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this morning we gather as the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather together to observe the sacrament of communion. And this day, this Lord's Day, is to be set apart as a holy day. But today, we celebrate the feast of the cross. This sacramental meal where we commune Savior, our risen Savior, in remembrance of His atoning sacrifice on behalf of His people. So let us consider this sacrament by the inspired from 1 Corinthians chapter, beginning at verse 20. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord, in which He was betrayed, took bread. He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which this do in remembrance of Me." And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood. As oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till." Thus far, God's Word, and may He add a blessing unto it, and let us once again, our Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to You once again, thanking You for this word which You have proclaimed unto us this day. Implant this word in our hearts, so that it would nourish us, it would strengthen us, so that it would and cause us to live with a life, hope, and faith. Now, as we approach the preaching of this word, we ask that You would add a blessing upon this portion of our worship as well. Father, speak through Your minister this day. that the words of man would be silenced, and that the authority your minister strength to faithfully preach this word this day. And let this preaching be not enticing words of man's wisdom, but be in the demonstration and power of the Spirit. Father, speak to us this day, Christ, whom we long to see. We ask this in His name. Amen. One of the greatest dangers that you can do as a member of Christ's church is to come to the table and to partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. If we were to read a little bit further in our passage this morning, we would see the apostles' warning against eating and drinking in an unworthy manner, that it is the cause for some within the church to be sick or to even die. Great care has been taken by many pastors and theologians to show the importance of self-examination and preparation before coming to the table. And that's why in our communion seasons, we have the preparation services so that you can be confronted with with the law of God and see where the work of preparation must be focused in your own life. We as believers must be shown our sins and our wants, where we have failed to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all of our strength, and how we have failed to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then after being confronted with your sins, you are then presented Christ, the glorious Savior of mankind, who took the sins of His people and nailed them to the cross. It's in Him that you find forgiveness of your sins and are clothed in His righteousness, which makes you worthy to come to this table and partake of these elements. But oftentimes we neglect to consider one aspect of preparation to partake in a worthy manner, something which is of such great importance, separates this sacramental meal from merely eating bread and drinking some wine like you may do in any other meal. And what I'm referring to is what the Lord's Supper actually is and what it entails. How often do we meditate upon that in our preparation? So much more than eating a bit of bread and drinking a sip of wine takes place at the communion table. There's much that we ought to have in mind when we partake of this sacrament. It is a remembrance ordinance in which we meditate upon the sacrificial death of Christ. It is a strengthening in which the Holy Spirit really and truly applies the benefits of Christ to us so that it becomes an effectual means of grace. And these are aspects of the supper which much of the church as a whole have held on to and still clearly. But there's one aspect of the supper that the modern church seems to have let fade into the past. And yet our Reformed forefathers understood it to be a vital aspect of the sacrament, and that is that the Lord's Supper is a covenanting ordinance. And so the exhortation to you this day in coming to the table is to renew your covenant and partake of this covenant meal. And we'll consider this exhortation in three ways. First, by showing the Lord's Supper is a covenant meal. Next, by seeing the act of covenanting in the supper. And then finally, by observing our covenantal duties following the supper. So first, let us consider that the Lord's Supper is a covenant meal. And to do this, we must understand what a covenant meal is. Throughout the people of God would make covenant with Jehovah, and in their act of covenanting, they would partake of a meal. In Genesis 31 and verses 51 to 54, we see this clearly in the three-party covenant between Jacob, Laban, and the Lord. And Laban said to Jacob, "Behold this heap, and behold this pillar, which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us." And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread. And they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. Here we see, as part of this covenant making, that there was a meal that was shared between these of the covenant. And it's important to note that this meal signifies that the parties of the covenant were at peace with one another. Because there was peace between Jacob and Laban, who had once been fighting with each other. And now there was also peace between those two and the Lord whom they had been reconciled to. And it was signified, this reconciliation between the parties was signified in that sacrifice that Jacob made, and it was shown publicly in that meal that they celebrated together. And then in Exodus 24, we see that after the law was given to the people, they gave their assent to it. The blood was sprinkled upon the people, sealing that covenant. And then the representative partook of a covenant meal. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw God. They saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand, and they saw God and did eat and drink. Friends, that is what covenant is. It is an agreement between the parties. It is a reconciling of man unto Jehovah. It is seeing God and then partaking of a meal with Him. Perhaps the most important covenant meal of the Old Testament people of God was the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, that meal that signified the covenant that God made with His people to spare them from the angel of death and also to bring them out of slavery in Egypt. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roasted with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. It's in this context, the context of this covenant meal of Passover, that the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Each of the gospel accounts makes it clear that this is the case. They all specifically tie the institution of the Lord's Supper to the feast of the Passover. And while it may seem at first to simply show that Christ is faced with a new one, he's actually foretelling the of one covenant meal and instituting another. That's why when he took the bread and the cup and he gave it to his disciples after they supped, they partook of this new covenant meal. It was to show a continuity between the former administrations of the covenant of grace and that new which had come. The words of Christ and the words of institution make this clear as well, that this is a covenant meal when he says, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." He doesn't say that the cup pertains to the New Testament, but that it is the instituting this new covenant within this meal. And the word here for testament is also translated elsewhere as covenant. The whole of the New Testament or the new covenant is in this meal. And it has the sum and substance of it. Friends, when you come to this table and you partake of this meal, you must realize what it is that you are doing. You're not simply scarfing down a bit of bread and sipping down some wine, but you are being invited by the Lord, King of Kings, your Savior, Jehovah, to sit at His table and to sup with Him. What a glorious truth that is. That the Lord of glory wants to eat a meal with you. Have you considered how marvelous a thing this is that you are invited to the Lord's table to commune with Him over this covenant meal? It is not that sacrificial lamb of old that is set before you this day. It is the spotless God who takes sin in the world. See the sacrifice which purchased peace between you and God, and called you unto Him. See the Christ who by His own sacrifice instituted this new covenant. His body broken for you. His blood shed for you, poured out for the remission of your sins. Friends, this is what you must have in mind when you come and partake of this covenant meal of the New Testament church. Receive it with all hope, reverence, and attention as you wait upon God. Diligently observe the moments and the actions and meditate upon Christ's death and sufferings. Do you hunger and thirst for Christ? Do you long to commune with your risen Savior? Then come and feast on Him by faith as you partake of this covenant meal. And if this supper truly is a covenant meal, and I say that we have seen, then there is a responsibility laid upon you in partaking of this feast. There must be an act of covenanting in this supper. And the primary act of covenanting that is seen throughout Scripture is that of giving and receiving. Under Abrahamic administration, Jehovah gave to Abraham the promise that through him the nations would be blessed and that his offspring would outnumber the stars of the sky. Abraham then had the duty to receive that promise by faith, and it was counted to him as righteousness, Genesis 15, verse 6. And then under the Mosaic administration, Jehovah gave unto the people a land in which to dwell and laws which were to govern society as a chosen people. And their duty was to receive that and to take heed to what the Lord had said and to endeavor to obey all of His commands. Exodus 24, verse 3, "And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do." And then here, the new covenant pattern remains the same. The Lord, the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me." Giving is God's part in this covenant, and taking is ours. God gives us bread and wine by His delegated officer, and we receive them from the minister as from His representative. The bread is His body broken for you, the one who was crushed for your sins and iniquities. Isaiah 53, verses says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." And then this cup is the New Testament in His blood. His blood was poured out in order to reconcile us to God. And now we drink of it in a spiritual sense that we may be made part of that reconciliation. God gives Himself. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He gives His grace, His favor, and all that can be reasonably desired or truly wanted is found here in this as a benefit of receiving Christ. And so it is your duty to take what He has given you. God has given you, now take. And by doing so, you take upon yourself the duties of this covenant. The terms of this covenant are simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Salvation has been promised in this covenant. Your salvation is what is purchased in this covenant by the breaking of Christ's body and the shedding of blood. And it is here in this meal that this covenant of salvation is sealed unto you. His blood is the seal and the sanction of all the privileges of the new covenant. And when you partake of this sacrament worthily, you receive those privileges as your own. You have the new covenant. You have been made partakers of the new covenant, and so you are now entitled to all the blessings of the new covenant confirmed by Christ's blood. But so too do you have an obligation in this covenant. And that is to serve Jehovah with the entirety of your being. By participating with Christ, it is ratified and confirmed unto you. Christ, or God, confirms His promise to redeem those who come to Him through the cross of Christ. You, in turn, promise to be a faithful servant of Christ, whom you now trust. Matthew Henry says that in partaking of these elements, the communicant is declaring, "We hereby resign, surrender, and give up our whole selves, body, soul, and spirit, to God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, covenanting and promising that we will, by His strength, serve Him faithfully and walk closely with Him in all manner of gospel obedience all our days, claiming the blessings of the covenant, we put ourselves under the bonds of the covenant." Friends, it is by doing this, by taking on the obligations of the covenant to a life of faithfulness in the Lord, that you make this covenant your own. Our Directory for Public Worship emphasizes this as well when it states that the Lord's Supper is a covenant and pledge of their commitment to faithful discipleship and of their communion with Him and with each other as members of His body, the Church. This covenant meal also has another act in it, and that is of remembering Christ. He commands, "This do in remembrance of Me." Covenant ceremonies, especially meals, are acts of remembering the gracious acts of Jehovah towards His people. In these covenants found throughout Scripture, there is the underlying remembrance that the people are to have, that the Lord will send a Savior to redeem His people. The sacrifices of the covenant were a constant reminder of the sinfulness of man and the graciousness of God in providing a substitute in their place. The meal was a reminder that the Lord provides for His people out of His bounty. And so in this new covenant meal, it is Christ who offered Himself as the substitutionary sacrifice, as a propitiation for the sins of His people. And it is He that is to ever be at the forefront of your minds. This covenant is one which is to never be forgotten. Everlasting covenant unto all generations. In it we are assured we'll never forget His covenant because it is sealed with the blood of His very own Son. But it is also a means of assisting us and never forgetting this covenant ourselves by applying unto us the Holy Spirit and sealing this covenant in this meal. To mindlessly partake of these elements without remembering Christ who is this meal, a terribly wicked thing. As you eat of the bread, meditate upon His back, ripped open from the beating that He unjustly received. Meditate upon His hands and His feet pierced with nails to pay the price for your sins. Meditate upon His brow, which was stuck with that crown of thorns, which was intended to be a mockery of Him, but in reality it showed His royal nature. His body was broken for you. And then as you drink the cup, blood that was poured out for the remission of your sins, meditate upon the fact that the perfect Son ransomed for your sins with His very life, and that it was His life-giving blood that flowed forth from Him which brought you redemption. As you partake of this covenant meal, do so in remembrance. And finally, I want to end with our covenantal duties following the supper. The obligation that was placed upon the people of old was not a momentary thing solely tied to their act of covenanting. It was a perpetual that they were to observe all of their days. And so it is with you, dear saints. The apostle says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come." You are to ever be showing the Lord's death till He come. When we make covenants, we are declaring for all to all who see. And in this covenantal meal, you are declaring the Lord Jesus Christ, His death on behalf of sinners to all who witness it. And the showing forth of Christ is not something that is only tied to the moment of partaking of this meal. It's something that is perpetual. It is a perpetual obligation that is upon you if you have supped with the Lord. To be an ever-present testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. Paul says in Romans 12:1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. All of your members, all of your faculties, all of your being, be a witness of the death of Christ. That means that when you go to work, your actions and your words are to show forth Christ's death. You are to bear testimony to your co-workers and boss and clients of the great salvation that you have received, no matter if it may cost you your job. Or when you're in school, you're to show forth Christ's death by proclaiming the gospel to your fellow students or your teacher or all who you encounter. No matter if it may cost you your friends or your reputation. And when you're in the home, you show forth Christ's death and how you operate in your God-given roles. Husbands, show forth Christ's death when you love your wife as Christ loved the church and laid Himself down for her. Wives, you show forth Christ's death in the respect and submission that you show your husband who is your spiritual head. Children, you show forth Christ's death in your obedience to your parents, obeying them in the Lord. These obligations of the covenant do not end when you leave this building, but they continue till He come. And then there's also the duty of praying that the Spirit would make the sign and seal of this covenant effectual in your heart and life. Meditate what has been proclaimed to you in the preaching of the Word and what has been given unto you in the sacrament. Pray that the Lord would cause it to giving you a fresh and invigorated faith which desires to fulfill the obligations that you have just taken upon yourself. Ask the Lord to use this covenant meal as a means to comfort you in your times of affliction. That it would be a constant reminder that no matter what comes your way, no matter when what trials or tribulations you may go through, that no matter what temptations you face, that you are in Christ. And that nothing, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus your Lord. Let this sacramental meal renew your covenant with God and your love for others. Sitting at a table and sharing a meal with one another is intimate things that we do. How much more should sitting at the Lord's table and sharing this covenant meal cause you to grow more and more in your love and affection for one another? And then let this meal drive you to a heart of gratitude, to a heart of thankfulness to God for what He has done. Later today, we will have our Thanksgiving service and we will do just that corporately as a people. But your thanksgiving ought not end simply because the minister pronounces the benediction. And dear friends, if this is not the result in your heart after partaking of this sacramental meal, then there is a great for further self-examination and repentance. Humble yourself before the Lord and ask that He would make these things real to you. See what sin it is that remains within you that's keeping these things from becoming a reality, and confess those sins to the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will hear your prayers and He will answer them. But perhaps you are here today and none of this applies to you because you have never been made partakers of this covenant. You're still dead in your trespasses and sins, and you are in need of Savior. And if that is you, then call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to wash away your sins with His blood and to clothe you in His righteousness. Do not say to yourself that you will wait until some other day. Friends, today is the day of salvation. You're not promised tomorrow. Bend your knee to Christ. Submit yourself to a covenant with Jehovah and fulfill your covenantal duties. Brothers and sisters, this table is set before you. The covenant has been made with you. The Lord is your God and you are His people. There is an invitation to you this day to come and sit at the King's table. Come and commune with your risen Savior and your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Come and partake of the elements of bread and wine, feasting on Christ in a real spiritual way. Friends, renew your covenant and partake of this covenant meal. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you and we humbly ask that you would ready our hearts to come unto this table, that you would cause us to renew our covenant, and that we would be sealed in that covenant by the blood that is signified here in this meal. And Lord, calls us to walk in it, to walk in your ways, to live lives worthy of the title Christian. Father, we ask that your blessing would be upon us as we continue this worship this day. We ask this in Christ's name.